Hello everyone, welcome back. My name is Arna Sahu, host of Arna's News, where on this podcast channel, I aim to eliminate the gender gap in the STEM fields by featuring inspiring female professionals and highlighting their stories and accomplishments to further encourage girls. Today on episode 48.
I have friends who are in creative industries, friends who are founders in completely different areas, and I love catching up with them and having conversations with them because even though what they're doing day to day might be significantly different than what I'm doing, there's a lot of overlap, and hearing about the way someone else works or the things that they're facing, the challenges that they're working on, provides a lot of perspective often, at least for me, and the things that I'm working on as well, and gives me a new way of looking at things, a new way of approaching problems. And a lot of times there are just a lot of analogies that I didn't expect. So I love having friends and other founders in my network that do something very similar to myself, but I also am really grateful to have people in my circle that are completely different from myself that I can learn from. So I think at the end of the day, everyone has something that you can learn from them, and seeking those people out and seeking meaningful conversation is always going to be worth your time.
Today on episode 36, I'm pleased to announce our guest, Maria Pappas. As a chief philanthropy officer at the Tech Interactive, she has demonstrated exceptional leadership skills in the field of philanthropy. With a passion for giving back to the community, she has been instrumental in recruiting hundreds of volunteers, building and managing successful development teams, and empowering individuals to achieve their full potential. She has a proven track record of success and is highly regarded for her ability to bring out the best in those she works with, while also fostering a collaborative and supportive environment that inspires individuals to make a difference. So thank you so much, Maria, for being here today. Before we dive into the questions, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thanks for having me. I'm really happy to be here. I'm Maria Pappas, again, the Chief Philanthropy Officer at the Tech Interactive, and I'm excited to participate in the podcast.
Thank you so much. All right, so my first question for you is, tell us a bit about your career path.
Sure. So I graduated from UCLA with a double major in psychology and sociology and a business emphasis. And I really wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do after that, but I had interned with a nonprofit organization while I was in school, and that organization led me to my first job with an organization that I ended up staying with for over 20 years. So I'm a big proponent for internships. I think they're a great opportunity to learn a field, which is what I was able to do, or at least get introduced to a field and get to know people. The person who I had worked for at that internship introduced me to someone at the American Heart Association in Los Angeles, where I started my nonprofit career, and I worked for the AHA in LA for about 2 years. And then I moved back to the Bay Area, where I'm originally from, and joined the San Jose office in Silicon Valley division of the American Heart Association. I eventually became the executive director of that office. And then after I had my son, I actually worked part-time. I stepped out of the executive director role and was able to work part-time while I had two kids, my son and then my daughter. And I did that for a very long time. So I kept my foot in the door. I kept raising money. I stayed involved in the organization, which was great. About 10 years ago in 2012, I was introduced to the new CEO at the Tech Interactive, formerly the Tech Museum here in San Jose. And I ended up taking the vice president of development role. I was charged with raising a $50 million campaign and also managing the development team to achieve our annual fundraising goals. So I've been at the Tech a little over 10 years, and it's been a great run. And it's been a very rewarding career in nonprofit and fundraising all this time.
That's so exciting. I love the Tech Museum. I would go there with my family all the time. And I'm so happy that I can talk to you about it. All right. So my next question for you is, what advice would you give someone wanting to pursue a career similar to yours? And do you have any tips to succeed?
Sure. Well, not many people really even think about fundraising as a career path or go to college thinking, I'm going to raise money for the rest of my life. But there are great opportunities in the field. First of all, every university, hospital, private school, large national organization like the American Heart Association, Lung Association, Cancer Society, Leukemia, all of these organizations, museums, all need fundraisers. Every organization that provides services for homeless people or provides housing or clothing or food, every organization that is a nonprofit, of which there are 1.7 million in the country, need people to raise money for that organization. So there are a ton of opportunities out there in the world for fundraisers, and there are not a lot of people that think to go into the field or realize it's even a thing. So I guess to answer your question in the first place, I would say there's a big world out there. There's lots of opportunity, lots of jobs. Second, it is hard to raise money, but you can learn and you can do this. And in terms of, you asked about tips to succeed. So fundraising is all about building relationships. And the best fundraisers are really great with people. And they enjoy people. They enjoy getting to know people, learning about what's important to them and what they value. If you're intrigued and interested in people, if you love working with groups, if you want to work with a mission-oriented organization, I think you should look at nonprofit as a career path. It's been a great career for me. There are, as I said, lots of opportunities out there. You will never be out of work if you learn to raise money. Every organization needs good fundraisers. So I would encourage people to think about nonprofit as a career. There's lots of things you can do with your life, but there's nothing like dedicating your life to making the world a better place. So
that's exciting. I used to work at a bunch of nonprofits as well, so I do know the ins and outs of managing an organization and also fundraising, because I'm a Girl Scouter, so I know what it is to fundraise. So that's really exciting. Yeah. And my next question for you is, what is a common myth about your profession that you want to debunk?
Right. Well, it's probably that people hate asking people for money. Most people, when you tell them you're a professional fundraiser, the first words out of their mouth is, oh, I hate asking people for money. Well, it's about so much more than that. So I think that being in a development role is really about matching a person's values and interests with an organization's mission and just pairing them up. And then people will naturally want to give. So in Silicon Valley, there is plenty of money to go around. And once people have bought their beautiful homes, cars, vacation homes, usually they stop and reflect about what they really want to do with their lives, and often end up wanting to do something to make the world a better place. And so they have to turn to someone for advice on how to do that, to learn about organizations, someone that can help kind of steward them through the giving process. And that's what great development people do. We don't spend every day asking people for money. I spend time taking people on a tour of the tech. I walk them around and I show them the organization and what we do in this great exhibit that we have and the programs that we offer. And if they're looking for a way to give, it will happen naturally. And if you're doing it well, it's not uncomfortable asking people to support your organization. So I think that's the greatest myth, is that people think, oh, you're just kind of knocking on doors and asking people for money every day. Well, it's much, much more than that. And I have met so many incredible people in my career. I've met CEOs of companies and hospitals, and I've met people that, you know, have started industries here in Silicon Valley. You get exposed to so much in this field. It's a wonderful field and career to be in. And so I don't want people to be afraid of asking people for money and to shy away when there's lots of opportunities out there. And if you're doing it right, it's very rewarding for you and for the person that's making the donations to support the organization.
Yeah, you're basically giving people a doorway to have passion in their lives. And give a purpose to them. And also, you, as a fundraiser, you have to have a lot of connections. So you're building more relationships with other people. And I think that's really important to know, because it's quite hard to find connections. But, you know, you doing it as a professional is really, really inspiring.
Wow, thank you. You're absolutely right. It's all about It's about networking and connections and relationships, building authentic relationships with people out in the community. And when you do that, people want to bring their friends into the organization as well to get to know what they're supporting and the good that we're doing in the world. And that's kind of where the magic happens.
Yeah. And my next question for you is, if you could step into my shoes or younger self, what would you have asked yourself that I didn't?
Well, I think as people are thinking about what they want to do for a career and in life, then what they really should think about is their personal values. So I've basically worked for two organizations, one health organization and one educational organization. Why? Because both of those reflect values of mine. So I've always valued health, exercise, that sort of thing. So I could definitely, with passion, represent the mission of the American Heart Association. I also believe very much in education and how education can be a game changer for people. And so I wouldn't be at the tech if I didn't have those beliefs and if I didn't really, with passion, believe in the mission of our organization. So I think it's important as people look at career paths and think about what they want to do with their time, with their life, with their careers, to look for organizations whose values very much line up with your own. Otherwise, in my experience, it just doesn't seem to work as well. And this past year or a couple of years during the pandemic, I actually completed a master's in nonprofit leadership and management. And one of the courses I took talked a lot about hiring and retaining staff. And one of the best ways to do that is to hire people who value the mission of the organization. So it's really important, I think, for both the organization's perspective, but for the individual's perspective, to think about what organizations line up with your personal values. And then, you know, that's an important foundation from which to build a career.
Yeah, and to expand on that, as the person, you don't want to live a life where the thing you're doing isn't actually that much fun. Otherwise, that's miserable. You want to find things that you're actually passionate about and actually have the same values as yours and build that relationship with them and kind of live a fulfilling life.
100% agree.
And my next question for you is, what are the best resources / books that have helped you find your career path?
Well, I'm just a big advocate for the internship, if possible. There weren't really any books that I read, let's say, in college that led me to this career. It was really the internship that I didn't even know it existed. I was like most people. I had no idea. But internships can give you a peek into what an organization is really like and what they do. I had always been involved in clubs and organizations, sorority and college, et cetera. And when I had my first internship, I thought, well, this is just a big club. This organization raises money for a school district and there's a professional person behind them that helps keep it all together. So it was kind of a very natural next step for me. Now, nowadays there's lots of books out there on fundraising, making the ask, managing volunteers, all of that. But one that I really liked that I read and was able to attend a course on is called The Generosity Network. And a woman wrote it. And what that book is really about is it's about storytelling. It's about storytelling and relationship building and telling stories from your own personal perspective to a potential supporter and building a connection through the stories that we tell. So The Generosity Network by Jennifer McRae is a book that I would recommend for people that are interested in learning a little more about fundraising and what it's really all about.
I see. And I do get the internship part, although I've never had one myself. I have done a bunch of really fun things like fundraising with my friends for a bake sale. It was a really interesting experience last year, and we managed to raise over $1,000. So that was really exciting.
That's fantastic.
Thank you. And it was really hard to find volunteers, but just having that physical experience of wanting to do something is really, really like fulfilling, at least to me. And also, I feel like building connections and the relationship part of it is really important for fundraising as well, because you have to talk to people. Mm-hmm. And those skills helped me build better connections with people.
For sure.
And my next question for you is, what do you think is the vital factor that shaped your career? What was your life before learning it, and what was your life after learning it?
I think a vital factor that shaped my career was getting a great mentor early on. So there are things that I learned in my first job that I still remember and use today. And a great mentor is very important. And I worry a little bit that with more people working from home, those relationships that happen in the office, especially with younger employees, and their ability to just walk into someone's office, ask a quick question. I think building and developing mentorships when you're not together is a little bit more of a challenge than it was when everyone was in the office every day, 40 hours a week. So I would encourage people that are younger in their careers, even though working from home is kind of cool, to get in the office, get to know people, and see if you can find people to help mentor you, help you when you have a challenge, give you advice when you're kind of stuck, or someone that you can just do what they did. I met someone recently who told me, yeah, my boss was really successful and I'm just trying to do exactly what he did, like how he did the job so that I can be successful too. Well, that's much easier when you're with people in person, I think, than when you're just working virtually every day, 5 days a week. So I would say the important factor that shaped my career was just getting working under some really good people early in my career, teaching me basics and foundations that I was able to take with me in, you know, every subsequent position that I held.
I think that's really important because when you're in school, you have a teacher, so you don't really worry about anything because you know that there's someone next to you who knows what they're doing. You can just follow them. But after you graduate from school, there's really nobody unless you make that connection. And it goes back to the topic of networking and building relationships. But having a mentor and having someone who knows what they're doing, even when you're confused, is really, really important because you can get advice, you can get cool tips, you can have a support system, and so many other benefits than if you were just alone.
Mm-hmm. For sure, yeah. I agree.
And since we have some additional time, my next question for you is, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career path?
I think a lot of people advance by maybe making changes a little more often than I did, a lot more often than I did. I stayed with the American Art Association for over 20 years. But I did that because they afforded me the opportunity to stay involved and work part-time and raise my kids. So I don't regret that at all. I'm grateful that I was able to do that. I don't think I wish I had known when I began my career. I think that it's really important to work for an organization with a strong leader at the top. And often you join a position because someone hires you and you don't really know who's in charge. You don't know anything about the CEO. You could read about that person maybe. But the top leadership is a very, very important aspect of an organization. And as people are interviewing, you should interview the person that is hiring you. And you should also ask about others and you should do your research on the CEO. And that's not hard to do these days, but a very, very strong leader builds culture. And culture is what contributes to people's happiness in their jobs. And I think it's important to try and assess that before accepting a position. I just got lucky. I mean, I didn't always get lucky. I got lucky. I had some great managers. I had some managers that weren't so great. Also, I think that if you're really good and eager to learn, you can typically outlive the managers that maybe aren't as strong. My experience is that they tend to find their way out And sometimes that creates opportunity for you to then move up.
I see. And a really cool interview tip that I've heard is that when you're being interviewed, you actually interview the interviewer. So, I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, you're unique when you do that. And also, yeah, the second part of just wanting to have the eagerness to learn is really important in order to stay on top of your role. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and you can always learn from others. Like I mentioned, I just did this master's program. I mean, I've been in the field 30 years. I learned in every class I took. Every single class, I learned something. Also, there's lots of resources out there. There's webinars, and there's been a ton of webinars the past few years during the pandemic that you can jump on and learn a little more about people's tips for managing a capital campaign, or how to make an ask, or how to pull donors in, or how to form a committee, or whatever. There's Chronicles of Philanthropy. There's the Association of Fundraising Professionals. There's a bunch of different articles and organizations that are trying to provide professional development for people in the field. And I like to sit in on those once in a while. I sat on one just kind of recently, and you always pick up a little nugget here and there. It's also good to attend industry types of conferences for your particular area or field, because you get to meet people and share best practices and that sort of thing, which is always good to do to kind of keep fresh and new and learn. You can learn from everyone that you meet, really.
Yeah, and this is a great segue to my next question, which is, how do you continue to learn in order to stay on top of things within your role?
Really kind of what I just mentioned. I try and attend webinars, courses, et cetera. My organization has hired consultants for certain aspects of our work. So I've learned a lot from the consultants that we've hired. We hired consultants to help us manage our capital campaign. We've hired some consultants to help us figure out how to approach the state for funding. That's been a whole new thing for me. Our CEO and I went up to Sacramento a week or so ago and met with a bunch of assembly people, and these consultants walked us through the process, what to do, how to do the meeting, what to bring with us, et cetera. So you can learn, there's lots of sources out there to learn things to kind of stay on top of your game, if you will.
And now that we're online, there is a billion things.
Even more, yeah.
Yeah, there's like a billion things.
Definitely.
And my last question for you is, do you have any quotes or mottos that you'd love to follow and would like to share?
Yeah. So there's one that I learned even before I was in nonprofit at all, but I was working while I was in college for an organization that puts on leadership conferences for high school students. And one of the things that we used to say is, people support ideas which they themselves create. People support ideas which they themselves create, which means people like their own ideas. and it's a really important saying, because when you're trying to ask someone to help you, to volunteer or to get involved, and you want them to do it this way, but they say, well, I want to do it this way, they are more apt to follow their idea and see it through. And usually their idea is just fine. They might have a great idea. So when you're working in a group, it's always important to remember that people support the ideas that they themselves create. That's one that has stuck with me for years and years, and I've used in my nonprofit career. I think the other one that I learned early on in my first year at Heart in LA was to divide and conquer. And it was given to me in the context of a committee. It was a new committee that I was working with on a fundraising event. And we wanted them to follow some procedures which the organization knew worked best. And in the committee meeting, the group wasn't really getting it. But a manager at the office went back and said, Maria, go talk to them one at a time, one by one, one by one. Divide and conquer. And I did that. I went and I talked to them one by one. And when you can explain it and go into a little more detail and get people to buy in, then when the group gets back together, then, you know, everyone ends up on board. Sometimes you can't solve the problem in a committee meeting. You have to do it personally on these kind of little one-offs with individuals. And that's also been a strategy that I've used many times in my career.
Yeah, those two quotes are very simple but powerful. Yeah, and I will definitely keep them with me. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Well, thank you so much, Maria, for being here today. Before we end off the interview, would you like to say any last words to the audience?
I would just say that thank you for the opportunity. Again, I'll give my plug for looking at nonprofit as a career. It's a wonderful career. And you can take your passion, look for it, if it's the arts or health or science or education or, you know, serving the community, any of those things, there's usually a nonprofit organization that is behind a lot of those efforts. So I love it when people think about nonprofit as a career path. And then also, just on behalf of the Tech Interactive, we need more women in STEM. So it's for you as much as it's for anyone. And don't be afraid to go into the sciences, math, et cetera, any of those things. Diverse work groups come up with better outcomes. So come down to the tech and learn what we've got to offer and pursue your dreams. And I just wish you and all of your followers great luck and success in your futures ahead of you.
Thank you for tuning into Honest News, where we aim to inspire and empower women in STEM by featuring the stories of successful female professionals in the industry. Today, we have the pleasure of hearing from Maria Pappas, the Chief Philanthropy Officer at the Tech Interactive, who shared her invaluable advice on building relationships and finding organizations that align with one's personal values while living a fulfilling career path. Thus, that concludes episode 36. If you want to know more about how I relate to these amazing topics, then stay tuned for upcoming episodes. A free way to support the show is by leaving it a 5-star rating and a review on the player you are listening to. Let me know what you enjoy about this podcast, as it's a chance to tell me what you love about the show and helps others discover it too. By the way, we have episodes every Monday and Thursday at 12 a.m. PST. Also, check out our YouTube channel and feel free to give a subscription. That is www.youtube.com/@ArnestNews. No spaces attached. Once again, thank you for finding me, and I hope we stay in touch with each other. Tito, you're listening to Arna Sahu, the host of Arnest News. Toodles!